See everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Now, as far as we know right now, I was contacting Brother Richard about coming, but I don't think he's going to this Wednesday, maybe next Wednesday or something. But Brother Aaron will be preaching for us, the Lord willing, Wednesday, so remember him and just keep him in your prayers and all. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, most of all for being you. Because without you, there wouldn't be any need of us or any thoughts of us being worth anything. And we know that within ourselves that we are not. But yet we know that, behold, you have made us the things that you have made us, Lord. And we thank you. And we praise your great name. And we pray that you would just guide us now as we speak about you. And Lord, as we read your word, and then comment a little bit about it, we ask that you would just be on the scene to speak to each heart. Forgive our sins, because we know that we want to be covered by the blood. And Lord, just keep us and guide us now. Let your love be made manifest with each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, 14. Very familiar scriptures with all of us. We've preached on it a lot, and just a thought to what we're getting to. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing. Josh has a word he'd like to say to the church. If it's all right, just come on up.
Pretty sure everybody knows about what happened a couple Fridays ago. It's been a pretty bad accident. If you want to, you can go on the internet, check out the church's website. You can see the pictures of the accident. It's pretty obvious once you see them that the only compartment that was untouched in that car was the driver's seat. Now, I don't know how many people know this, but there were also three witnesses at the scene of the accident that said that they saw a man get out of my car once it had stopped moving and walk off into the woods. There wasn't anybody in that car but me. No mortal man. And I've taken, I guess this is my interpretation of the man walking away as God saying, okay, now you can't deny it. It's your scene. Yeah. You make the choice. I was reading today. I found a scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:17-18. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? It is good that thou should take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of all of them. Now, what I want to say to everybody is my testimony is I've come to the realization of this, that God died, God himself came down in a man, Jesus Christ, and died for every one of our sins. Amen. Died for the souls of the ones he loved. And anyone that this applies to, what would you die for? Yeah. Would you die for the movies or the TV shows or the music or the friends that you have?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I almost did. Or would you let your body die out to the world and give your soul to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And another scripture, if y'all want to read it yourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. Thanks.
Like I told him at the fellowship meeting, I said, don't give up praying. You commit them to the Lord, you leave them into the hands of the Lord, and he'll guide them through. But just don't quit. Just keep praying. It doesn't matter how bad they get or what they do. Just keep praying and just keep believing. Because if God promised it, he will make a way. Sometimes we might not like his ways, and he may do things in the odd that we would think, and we may have it all figured out for ourselves, but he's going to have his way when you believe it. So just keep believing it, because that's a testimony of it, you know, to the glory of God. Amen. It'll be a great time when it's all over and all finished. Amen. All right. Now, I've been trying to, as I said, been speaking about perfect attitude, positive attitude, perfect word, perfect believing, you know, because we should have everything, you and I, now especially you and I, and I'm not throwing no stones at nobody else and what they believe or what churches or anything. I'm just talking to you and I for what God has given us and done for us in showing and seeing and things. It should make such of a positive attitude into our hearts and lives that no matter what would happen or go wrong, that it would never hinder our faith. You know, to see the things God has done among us, to bring in our children in, bringing our grandchildren in. That would be enough. If he never done anything else, that would be enough for me to serve him the rest of my life, because he has honored the word that, you know, we've tried to bring through salvation and through believing and walking in the word of the Lord. He's honored those things. There's many, many testimonies about things that God has done among us, you know, great miracles and signs and wonders. And we thank God for that. We believe in it. We believe it's true. We praise God for it. But we also dwell on one thing, and that's the word of God is the answer to all things. Because what else would it do us any good? If we had signs and wonders and still lost, what good would it do? If we had all the things of the world, what good would it do to own it all and have it all? What good would it do? Because nowadays it can be gone in a split second as far as, what we have. But yet the word is eternal. And it just thrills my heart to think about it and to realize what God has done for you and I. And if you say like this, say, well, Brother Dale, what about my family? Well, you believe too. And I'm not degrading you. I'm saying hold on. Hold on to your families. Pray for them. See? We don't have to run them off, you know. We may be stern about what we believe. Yeah, and we may say, this is it. You know, it's fine. That's all well and good. But still love them. And like I've always said, and like I said here a month or two ago, you know, to all of the children, I said, just don't forget your raising. No matter what, don't forget how you was raised, how you was brought up. Don't forget it, because someday it will come back speaking to you, and that'll be the thing that will guide you and lead you through, you know, the time of trouble and all. That's to me is a wonderful thing. But now, we were talking this morning about a perfect word. You know, I mean, it's not enough that I could say about that, really. You know, you could talk the rest of the day and the rest of the night and all about a perfect word of thinking what God has done for you and I. Now, not for anyone else now, but for you and I. There's never been an age like this age. There's never been a time when God's word would be made known in its fullness until this end time. And then, now I know, and I'm human too, we'd say, I'd like to have been back there. I'd have liked to have been there when this happened. I'd like to have been there in the book of Acts. I'd have liked to have been there in the times, you know. Even now, we'd say, I'd like to have been back there, you know, 20, 30 years ago, or more than that now, about 50 years ago, when the prophet was here and the word coming forth and all. I mean, that would be great. That's wonderful. And I agree with you, and I do too, and I love those things. But yet all, now if you don't get nothing out of the message today, this is the whole message. Right? The entire Bible, we think if we were just, you know, if we were just like as important as they were here, or are valued like it was in this age or that age or what, but think that God saved the best for last. Now, he did. He saved the best for life. You know, there's nobody can take your place. There's nobody ever been trained like you've been trained. You know, there's nobody been raised the way you've been raised. Because we're here at a time when we're facing Satan and a change of the body. And it's going to take a perfect attitude to come to that, a positive, perfect attitude to come to the basis that we just walk right straight into eternity without having to die. You go by the grapevine. If I died this second, I wouldn't have, don't write on my tombstone, you know, he's dead or anything. Just say, he'll be up, you know. Don't worry about it. Just, see, because we're living in a positive attitude. But everybody that's ever amounted to anything, I keep saying this, in the Bible has always had a positive attitude about what God said about them. That's what my point was this morning, to get us to see that God is speaking to me and you. This message was not brought to no one else. It's brought to me and you. That's the way. Behold, I send you. See? Aaron Roberts, I send you Elijah. That's what God said. He sent him to each and every one of us as an individual thing to believe. If we would just stand on that and just say thank you. Thank you, and just, you know, I don't understand everything. I never have claimed to understand it all. But what I do, what's been revealed to me, I believe it. There may be things that I don't know about. I heard of people who ask me questions. I said, I don't know. Right? Because I don't know. If I don't know, I'll just tell you I don't know. But yet, the truth will set us free and make us to that position to where that we can see who we are. And, you know, I've always thought about, you know, how little kids are, and that's the way I was. I always wanted to be in the Army. I wanted to be a soldier. I wanted to be this or that or the other, you know, how kids are. I wanted to be a cowboy. I wanted to be, you know, something like that, you know. Used to ride old bareback horses, and they'd sweat all over you, you know, when you'd get caught it from riding old bareback things and didn't even have a saddle, couldn't afford one, and worked poor old things half the day, and then ride them around in the yard and think we was, you know, some kind of a cowboy, and the poor old animal couldn't even hardly walk because we'd done worked it half to death and all like that. But still, you know, I wanted to be something. I mean, it's always the heart's desire or ever individual to want to be something, you know, in the way that they want. One thing, one another. But then to think that God would think the most of you and I to reserve the end time for us. You said, well, I don't this, I don't that. You're setting where you're at, aren't you?
Right.
I mean, the devil can't get you and pull you away, can he?
Right.
Well, glory in God to thank God for the truth that we've heard.
Amen.
Because it'll set us free. It'll make us who we are. And then God thanks the most of all because we're the ones that's ending it all up. Yeah. It's never been a time that God thought as much of the people as he did this end time. I mean, you're running a relay. And you know, you've got people that run this way and people that run that way. But they always save the best one for that last, because if everybody else don't make it, regardless of what's going on, he's got to run the race. And you may drop the baton or the thing that they're carrying. Something may happen and you may fall behind, but it's left for that last one. So the best of all is saved for the last, to where that can finish it up. And that's what God's done for you and I. If we could just realize that and just think about, I wish there would be some way that I could just get that instilled into you and to me, that God thought so much of us to end this all up with us. We're not talking about the end of the world today, tomorrow, whatever. That's up to God. But the end of time is upon all of us. No. And we know this is ending it all up. So then we ought to be the happiest people in the world to think that God would think enough of us to bring us and let us be here. To choose us to be here. Yeah. To where we would be walking in that place. All right. But now, see, the entire Bible now points to this day. If you don't get nothing, get this part of the message right here, and this is the message. Every example that's in the Bible is speaking of you. Every example. I'm talking about all of those Samsons killing the giants, the bears, the lions, the David killing these people, that's happening, all of that you'd say, I'd like to be like that. Well, see, that's pointing at you.
Right.
All of that Old Testament group of people, they went into the ground pointing that someday somebody would walk upon this earth that would be able to believe God's word.
Amen.
And accept God's word.
Right.
And walk out upon the word and call an end of all things. And all of the New Testament. The entire New Testament is speaking of me and you. We're in the seventh church age, aren't we? We're the seventh church age as far as the time-wise people, right? Because it's not another church age. We're birthed out of the age, and I thank God for that, and people are catching on to that and mentioning it now. So I like that, that they're saying, well, now, we thank God we're being... Somebody's catching on that we got to be birthed out of the age, not just talk about an age. But still, there's not another eighth church age somewhere to go to.
Man.
But to just think about all of that perfect word that God has so protected all of these thousands of years, and all of that was groups of people living on the earth. But each one of them that was there was an example to you. For you, of you. That's what Sister Gail remembers when I asked her. She said, what do you want me to teach the Sunday school kid? I said, not about David with a sling. I said, that's fine, but that's the way we taught it in organized religion, see? Oh, that Samson, David. I said, but teach them little children to take their little bitty form of faith and be able to conquer the devil with their faith, their revelation, their understanding, see? All right. Now, we made a few statements. I'm just reviewing a little. See? Now, Jesus had faith in what the Word said about Him. Now, Jesus had faith. He had a confidence, see, that He could stand there on one Scripture and say, thou not leave thy soul in hell or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And He died believing that one Scripture, Brother Brandon said, that would bring Him out. See? All right. And what about me and you? Why can't we look into the Word and see ourselves? I told you how I read the Bible. I read it about who it's talking about and what it's talking about. Then I read the Christ in it, and I see Christ in that, what He's doing. Then I see myself there. And see, if you'll read the Bible that way all the way through, you'll get a whole lot better understanding. But now listen, if Jesus had faith in what the Word said about Him, What about you and I? Why can't we have faith in what the Word says about us? Why can't we think that, you know, that the Bible speaks that in this day, in the last days, would be the last form of God upon the earth now before the rapture. And then he appeared to the two witnesses and go on. But in the Gentile dispensation, the last form would be the form of his bride. So he's got a lot of confidence in us. I'm going to say it this way. He's got a whole lot more confidence in me than I've got in me. I don't know where you think about it that way, but I would have chose somebody else to have been down here, you know, instead of me. But that wasn't his way of doing it. He chose what he wanted to be in the end time, because only those that can stand in the last days and not just declare who they are, you know, talk about who we are. I mean, I wish I could preach like some of these people that, you know, can really get you involved in it to see who you are in the Word. I mean, they can just make you just walk through the pages. But I can't do that. It's just not my type of ministry. But to just talk to you about yourself. To just talk to you about what you are and what's going on upon the earth in this day. Amen. And God doesn't end it all. Listen, God does not end it all upon himself. Right. Sure, it's him and us. We know that, all right? But he doesn't end it upon trying to show himself. He ends the Gentile dispensation upon showing himself in you and me. He's going to get the honor and glory out of it. We're not trying to take somebody's place or do something. You know, we're trying to make manifest what God says about us. Right? Now, when the prophet preached the message, he didn't preach Jesus is the mystery of God revealed. He preached Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he went back and showed how that, you know, all of the things were speaking of Christ. But all of that that was speaking of Christ was speaking of me and you. All God was, he poured into Christ. But all Christ, he pours into the church. Huh? It's all pointing to you and I. To showing us who we are. And our purpose for being here. Our purpose for being here, and we're the only people that can stand it. Like I told you that, you know, they're taking the army, they got all these old hard soldiers, you know, that's really rough, and ain't nothing but drunks and everything else, you know, and all kind of problems with it. I laughed at Brother Dick talking about that him carrying the stripes on his arms and firing the boiler for heating the water for the other guys because he done got in trouble and lost his stripes, you know, or lost, or at least didn't lose the stripes maybe, but they put him to work. See? But see, all of those tough ones, but they just take some old tough sergeant, they put him over it, and he gets in there and he frails all up, you know, around with them. But when it comes to the day of battle, who do they send out first? They don't send out them little bitty sissies, you know, running along. Yet I want to shoot somebody. We was out in California fixing to come back from when it's coming from the Philippines, and they just flooded the airport with all these soldiers that was going to their different places, you know. They threw their basics and they were heading out to go to the other, and all of them Marines and everything, you know, and oh, they was walking around there, you know, and I was looking at them, I thought, man, these are fine kids, you know, and all like that, you know, strong and healthy and all. And but here come one of them. I couldn't help but think of Fred Dunnigan, and I'm sorry to call his name, but you know, you'd know who I was talking about in a little bit anyway, you know. Here come one down through there. Hurry up and get out of the way. I got to go kill some people. I got to go kill some people. I thought, boy, I wouldn't want you backing me up on no battlefield. I'm sorry. That boy would have been cleaning out latrines. He would have not been on the front line with me. He would have been doing something else, because I wouldn't have had much confidence in him. But that was just, you know, oh, he was going. But listen, church, to think of all of the things in the Bible all of the wonderful events that can be read in the Bible of what has happened in this world that God has done, to where that he would take a Gideon, you know, and just, you know, win a whole battle. Take a Samson and just kill 1,000 with just one jawbone or something like that. A David that could kill a bear or a lion or, you know, Goliath was nothing to him. But all of that, he's just talking about you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's my whole message, is to get you to think about how that God has reserved the best for the last for you and I. That should bring us to a positive attitude. We could at least say one thing. I know I say thing odd and crazy, but you do believe you're alive, don't you? I mean, you believe you're in the building, huh? You do believe we're here in the end time, don't you? You know, well, what's God going to do? Is he going to raise up another group? I'm sorry, and I don't mean it wrong, and God knows I don't mean, but I'll quote Brother Branham, he doesn't have time. See? That's like he said about, I believe it was, wasn't it Moses or something? He wanted to make sure he was right, but he said he didn't have time to raise up another group, so he's going to have to take him in, something to that degree, you know. Well, see, he'll provide the way for you and I to walk right into eternal life. He's already done it. That's what I was saying this morning. He didn't say, Abraham, I will make you a father of nations. He said, I've already made you a father of nations. I've already done it. This whole thing is over with. We're going to read it out a while in the book of Revelation, where you can see the bride of Christ. It's all over with. It's finished. We know the beginning, but we know the ending of it all. Nobody's ever been able to understand that. Sure, they could talk about those things down through the ages and understand to a degree. But where was anybody in there? As honest as you can be, where was anybody until this prophet came? And even now, since he's come, where's there anybody that's even talking about a change of the body or anything?
Yeah.
They're still all tied up in some kind of assumption that they don't understand. But somebody's going to walk off this earth. But listen, church, it's not Jesus the mystery of God revealed. It's Christ the mystery of God revealed. And where's Christ at today? We read there in Romans 8, where the world is waiting not upon Jesus. Come on, the world not waiting on Jesus. You know, a corporal body, a return. That's what all the denominations are talking about. And I wrote it like this, you know. And I know Brother Branham said, he said, there is no hope for this whole world. This is almost verbatim quote. Without the resurrection or the returning of Jesus Christ, there's no hope for the world. Well, we know there's no hope for the world because they don't even know about the returning of Jesus Christ. Where's Jesus Christ returning? He's not splitting the skies. He's not coming in a corporal body. No, a human body standing upon earth physically. He's coming in you and I. In the bride, prophet said, coming of Christ. Coming out of the church. The whole world is not waiting on Jesus to come back physically. That's what they think they are. All around the world today, they're preaching, you know, one day the Lord is going to come. His eastern sky is going to split. He's going to stand with one foot on land, one foot on sea, and he's going to declare it's over, and the dead's going to be raised, and we're going up. And see, that's part word. You see what I was talking about this morning? That's part word. Because there's truth to a lot of what's said. But if it's part word, God don't have to back it up. If it's part word, God don't have to honor it. That's why you hear Brother Branham say it. And many of you have said to me, Brother Dale, do you believe I'm healed or this, that, or the other about something or something you'd ask me about? I said, I'll tell you when God tells me. I told you about Sister Maloney, you know, and all that. I told her. But Sister Bess, then she wanted me to tell her about Brother Maloney. I said, the Lord ain't spoke to me. I knew Sister Maloney wasn't going to live. That was already over. And she lived for a little while longer and died. But God never spoke to me. I said, Bess, I said, when God tells me, if he tells me he's going to live, I'll call you. If he tells me he's going to die, I'll call you. I said, until it comes, then you call me one day and tell me he's dead. I'll say, I'll quit believing now. But see, you don't want it built on something that, well, Brother Dick could say, Brother Dale, what do you think? Well, I kind of believe it's this way, brother. No, that's no good.
Right.
If it's not what God said in his word.
Right.
We can't stand up on partial realization.
Right.
We can't stand up on just a partial word.
Right.
The word has been given unto you and I, pure and unadulterated.
Amen.
All we got to do is walk therein. You want to know what the prophet says about it? Read it. It's left up for the ministry. Then if you get something to where that you say, it looks like Brother Rand said this, it looks like he said this, go to the ministry and ask them. Go to them and the Holy Spirit will use them to be able to fit it together, you know, to where it won't be, well, I think he missed it here. But you know what I'm talking about. That's all the people in the message. Well, I don't think he meant this and maybe he didn't, you know. No. I've never preached nothing like that, and you know I hadn't.
Right.
I've always, my whole ministry has been trying to put together the things that seem to be totally contrary one to the other. Daniel 70 weeks and the things like that that seem to be, you know, that others won't even tackle.
Right.
They won't even talk about marriage and divorce and stuff like that because they don't understand.
Right.
They say, well, we don't want to deal with them deep things, you know. But listen, church, if the prophet taught it, we can believe it.
Right.
But Brother Branham said Eve couldn't wait in the garden for God to come and make manifest what he promised. See, this we just don't want to get ahead. That's what I see people doing. They're getting ahead of God. They're coming out with all of these ideas. And they're trying to bring a rapture. They're trying to produce a rapture. I told a brother yesterday about Eve in the garden. I said she had a pretty good revelation. At least she covered herself with fig leaves. He kind of looked at me, I said, that's Israel, isn't it? She had a pretty good understanding of something that was going to happen one day. He said, I never thought of that. But listen, church, when are we going to realize that all of the Bible, all of this Bible is pointing at you? We have 1,400 or better authentic type. You know, some of those tapes are not, they're you know, was fooled with, so they don't count them authentic. But there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 tapes of Brother Branham. And you know what? Who he's pointing at? You. You know who he's trying to get to see who they are? You. When are we going to believe it? When are we going to believe that he's talking about us? Oh, it's easy, you know. I mean, it's easy for us to believe in Doubting Thomas. I've heard that preached by people until I get sick, you know. I saw myself as Doubting Thomas. Well, all right. But you know what? Thomas got what he asked for. Has your doubting brought God to you? His doubting brought God to him until he put his hands in there. But he didn't doubt no more. He wasn't Doubting Thomas no more. He was Believer Thomas. But see, church, we just get all tied up in it, you know, until we can't see ourselves. But all of the sermons Brother Brown preached, he's preaching about you. He's talking about you. Go into the Hebrew series. Go into the Hebrew series and just read the Hebrew book. And look at the things that he's talking about. Back when we was in denominations and things, you know, we had preachers that preached different things, saying something like that or whatever, and we really rejoiced but they were only pointing. Now, is this right? Now, think about where you were at. They were only pointing to somebody else. They were pointing to Jesus Christ one day somewhere or back down to what something that used to be and never seeing what was going on in their own lives. Well, let's don't get into that. Let's at least say we believe it.
Amen.
Let's say we believe that. And God has thought so much of you and I until the whole Bible You know, you as the prophet said, you read a book and it said, and John and Mary lived happily ever after. He said, now you want to go back and find out who John and Mary is and all of the story. But see, the whole story was pointing down to that last little scene. Everything was pointing to that last scene, that last move, that last thing. And we're the last move of God upon the earth. Where is there another move to come? Where's there another prophet to come? Where's there another group of people to come? We preached that Mary represented Pentecost, you know, Azusa Street, Mary. And the prophet said the Word was in Mary. But Mary was not the Word. But he said, now, there come a time that Jesus come forth, and he was the Word. Well, we've come through Mary, Azusa Street. There's nothing left but the Word. We cover justification, sanctification, like restoration of bride tree. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the restoration of the Word. Well, there's no other place for you and I to go. So as I said this morning, you say, well, is it important for us to know the Word? If we'd want to go to hell or if we want to miss it and go on in the grave, it ain't important. But if we want to walk off of this earth in a change, to not have to die, that's going to be something. It's going to be something one day for somebody to be standing there and to be changed. Do you know that everybody, I just read it in the Bible, everybody is waiting on you and I. Hebrews 11:40 says, they, without us, cannot be made perfect, can't be brought to a completion, can't be brought to a resurrection. You know that the dead is waiting on you and I? The prophet 340 Church Age book, he said, the bride is the final voice to the final age under her messenger. Under her messenger, she is the final voice to the final age. See, we have one message that's been delivered. We don't have to try to find out what it means. Right. People will read the Bible yet, and they'll say, what does that mean? Well, you could at least do what I do. You could go through there and write down what the prophet said that meant. That's the way I can quote him a lot of times, because I can just say, well, that's right there. That's where the prophet said it. Page 26, it's off of the of Romans 8, page 26, perfect faith. God dwelled in Jesus because there was no condemnation. That's Romans 8, 1, you know, there is therefore no condemnation. I wrote it down. See, page 26, perfect faith. He said, God dwelled in Jesus because there was no condemnation. He said, and in the bride, the same. No condemnation. He could dwell there. That's why when it comes to the time of the River Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, what about you and I when we receive the new birth? This is my son or my daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell. God doesn't mind advertising to the world who we are. But yet we get, well, now be careful now. Just don't make yourself too much. Well, are you going to get anywhere making yourself nothing? You don't realize that's the devil when people come along. Now be careful now. You could just go a little too far there. As Brother Moat said, you can't go no further into legalism than you, I mean, disgrace than you already are in legalism. You can't be done because both of them are missing the truth. But listen, see, not only Jesus did he go to the River Jordan and it say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the same statement was made there, but other words were added, which says, hear ye him. And Brother Branham said, God was simply saying that if you get anything, you're going to have to get it from him. Now, you agree with that? When it comes to Mount of Transfiguration, and to hear ye him, the Father is not speaking anymore. Jesus goes through his ministry teaching and doing the things. Because that's, you know, the time and all, and it's finishing. But it's just a short time there from Transfiguration to Calvary. And the Father's not speaking. It's the Son that's doing the speaking. Then when he gets into the Garden of Gethsemane, and all that leaves him, he doesn't say any more of that. Because there was no more to be said. It was finished. But see, we talk about that. We talk about that God would say, I'm going away, and you're going to have to hear him because he's my son. He's in charge now. He's the Word. All of the Word had been made flesh. But what about in the end time? We talk about he's pleased to dwell in us by the new birth. But what about when he comes to honor your word? What is it in the end time, see? Do you know that people are turning down the very opportunity to understand the Word of God? And we're not throwing no stones at nobody. It's all in God's foreknowledge. He knew it. But what about around the world today? What an opportunity it would be to sit and listen to some, even the sisters or some of the children could go to these churches and tell them about God in the basis that they don't even know anything about. You agree? See, you could tell them things they know nothing about. You could tell them things the theologians knew nothing about. But where would they receive it? Where would they receive it? So they're turning it down. See, once God embodies himself in bride form, you're not going to get anything anywhere else besides from her. Well, now, Brother Dale, there's plenty of preachers out there. Yeah, and what are they preaching? Part word? Part ideas of their own? There was plenty of preachers that was hanging around there when Jesus was going up to be crucified. Pharisees and Sadducees and everything else. But what was they getting? You understand? They were leading the very word itself up that they claimed to be believing, leading it up to crucify it. The very thing that was their own salvation. The word. Could it happen again in the end time? What about the people of this message who care nothing about the revealed word? They care nothing about it, and they're turning down, and they're not going to hear from God any other way. I know that sounds like, oh, y'all are exalted, y'all are... Just think what you want to. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Amen. We don't claim to be ever all, you know, the only pebble on the beach. We're just on the beach. Right. I'm glad of that. Right. I'm just wanting everybody else to get on the beach. Right. At least they could get somewhere around close to the ocean shore. You know. Right. You know. Right. But listen, church. See, they're not there. It's here. I believe the time is here that the world cannot hear about Jesus Christ. I don't care if they've almost 7 billion people in the world today, and if they was, you know, 1 million bride, I'm just giving you a number. Well, how many more? What if all of the rest of them was preachers? What if everybody else in the world was preachers? You know, they ain't going to hear from God. Now, where did those Pharisees and Sadducees? There was a time they was receiving, right? There was a time they could walk in what they were receiving. But once that word walked out in front of them, they turned down and killed the very thing that was the very one, the word they had spoken of. And there's no way that they could be getting anything from God. Because they had turned down the channel. See, that's the only way here that you can hear in the end time is to hear what God has to say by way of the bride of Jesus Christ. And the only way you and I can do that is to see ourselves in the Word. And that's the title. This is number 8 of the positive attitude. But seeing ourselves in the Bible. Seeing ourselves in the Bible. And seeing that everything's waiting on me and you. The whole world is groaning, travailing, waiting for me and you. You say, well, Brother Dale, they sure have these years. That's all right. But what about the Word? Well, is the Word... No, all right, I'm glad you said that. To say, is the Word important? Amen. Not if you don't want it, it's not. Jesus was the Word. Is that important? But Brother Dale, in these churches, they preach Jesus so sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But did they ever preach him with a whip in his hand, driving him out of the temple? A lot of different things. Listen. The whole world is not waiting on Jesus to return. He's not in a corporal-type body. And the return of Jesus Christ won't do the world any good. It'll only condemn. Because the returning of Jesus Christ in bride form is condemning the world. You don't have to have a judgment seat. You understand what I'm saying? There will be one because of the Word said, but you don't have to have one. Why? Because the people are already judged by turning down the Word. Now, somebody acting like the devil and claiming the Word, we're not talking about something like that. That's not turning down the Word when you got somebody acting like the devil and talking about the Bible. But when you see a bride of Christ that's living the Word and following that Word, you just bank on one thing. This is what I believe. It may be not now. I don't know. I mean, it may not be fulfilled right now, but it's coming a time that nobody's going to get nothing outside of what the bride is. No. I said it may not be right now, but it's coming. And I believe it's so close that I'm just going to say I believe it's here. That you're going to get nothing outside of Jesus, the bride of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he's trusted into her hand. She's the finish of all things. She's the ending of all things. Why didn't God just go down and kill Goliath? You know, he could have died of a heart attack. You know? I mean, he was in the way. Why didn't he just die of a heart attack? No. He had somebody upon the earth to take over with a positive attitude that I can do it. Well, that's what it's got to be in the end time. Why don't he just end this whole thing up by just doing it? No, he could have saved all the trouble and just done everything, just had it all finished, but no, he didn't. He's leaving it up to you and I. The people think, oh, if I just had the Word. I've had the Word where God would tell me you do what you want to. And I've never done it yet. And he told me to do it. But as quick as he told me to do it, he opened up in front of me the Word. Jesus could have said, you're all dead. Right? As we say the story, he didn't have to say a word. He just moved a finger. He didn't do it. See, the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole world. Those animals and things. The animals is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. They're waiting on their master to take over. Their master is not a man sitting on a deer stand with a gun killing the deer. That's not their master. That's the fallen condition that we exist in. But their master is one that could stand there and say, I give you your life. I sit out there a lot of times and see deer, and I just look at them. I raise my gun up, and I say, you was mine. And I just lay it back down. But I'm not hungry. I don't need it. I just say, I give you your life. Because all I had to do is just pull the trigger. Yeah. But see, church, when are we going to realize who we are? When are we going to realize who we are? What more would you want than for God to show himself in bride form? Now, what more would you want than God to show himself in bride form? What other thing would be so tantalizing, so uplifting, make you feel so great? What would it be than to realize that you are the bride of Jesus Christ? Like Brother Carroll was saying there last night about it. He said, go to a wedding, and he said, you come out there and you walk out, and there's the preacher, and there's the groom, and there's the best man, you know, and everybody's looking right at him. Boy, they just glued in on him, you know, and they just grinning, and just looking, and they just grinning, and just looking. What about that time? Dun, dun. And then they start playing, here comes the bride. Nobody ain't looking at the preacher. Nobody ain't looking at the best man. And nobody ain't looking at the groom. Who are they looking at? Here comes the bride. See? She's the one now that's important. See, this thing is ending up to where that Brother Branham said he wanted to show her. He wanted to show her. Amen. That's like in Waitsman and Esther there with that, you know. And see, that all that king was, he wanted Vestire to come out and show her beauty. Now, not show her body and not show her nakedness and not all the vulgarities you see the movies about it and that. He wanted to show her beauty because she was a beautiful woman. Amen. He just wanted her to show the beauty that he had chosen, the prize that he had chosen for her. She wouldn't do it. So he had to put her aside and get another one. See, you know, anybody's proud of their wife, you know, proud to for the world to see, not to in the wrong direction. When I say, this is my wife, that's an honor. That's not just something that you're trying to show off what you got. No, not that way. It's show the beauty that has been chosen. The beautiful character, the things that's been chosen to be a bride. You think God is not proud of his little bride?
Amen.
You think God is not proud of the fact that he wants to show you and I? What more would you want than for God to show himself in bride form upon the earth? What more would you want? I mean, all of the stories of Ruth and Boaz and the things. Once the queen steps into view, even the king is in second place. Who was it? Wasn't it Kennedy? You know, not joking, but wasn't it Kennedy that said, I just accompany the first lady? I believe it was the words he said. You know, he said, I just accompany the first lady because she was more in the spotlight than he was. Yeah. But listen, church, to see ourselves in the Bible brings us to a positive attitude about the things. To see ourselves in the Word. Now listen, we quote this, but do we believe it? Brother Brown said, Jesus spoke more of his second coming When he was here, he spoke more of his second coming than he did of his first coming. He spoke of his death. He spoke of his resurrection. He spoke of the ascension. He spoke of coming back. But he never did walk out there and say, "Hey, look, I'm here. Look at me." No. He pointed right to his second coming. And where was his second coming? What would transpire? What have I tried to preach to you? The bride of Jesus Christ down through the New Testament is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm not looking for a second coming like everybody seems to be looking for. I'm looking at the second coming, which is bride form. Wherever the bride's at, that's where the king's going to be. We need to settle down and see it. See, the whole New Testament is a record of the second coming. The whole New Testament is a record of it. Now think about it. You go into Revelations 2 and 3, and you read about the church ages and things. And you read in the third chapter where it's to wind up to being that will sit on the throne with him, you know, and things like that. And that's the bride coming of Christ. Right? But you know, that ain't all the story. That's not all the story to just look in the church ages and see that. What about looking in glory and seeing her? How about looking in glory and seeing her already there? What about going to like Revelation 5 and seeing the church already there? Seeing ourselves to be called priests and kings. To see ourselves as around about the throne. The rainbow round about the throne. And we're sitting on the throne. How much more would that be? But it's still got to, it covers all of the whole thing. All the way down through the ages. That he shows her in those pictures that he sees. But that's not all the story. What about when you see her riding back with him in Revelation 19? Let's just go read that one. Revelation 19. See her riding back with him. I've heard this preached as everything in the world. You know. Some of them preach we're going to come back one of these days with him, and boy, we're going to fight everything. We're just going to, boy, we're going to come back, and we're just going to wipe off them nations. We're just going to whoop everything, you know. No. The prophet said this is coming into the millennium. Victorious. Right into the millennium. He comes through two witnesses. He, the Word, through the two witnesses and the 144,000. And he wipes out all of the things. That's upon the earth. We're not coming back in the millennium to fight a battle. We're coming into the millennium in a victorious ride. But now all the way down through there, he has made himself shown as revealed in bride form. Even in the church ages, he was revealing himself in the church ages as in bride form. That's why Brother Branham takes Revelation 10:1, where he stands with one foot on land, one on sea, and all the different things. He said that's the same as Revelation 1:13. Revelation 1:13, what does it show? One in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. That's feminine form. That's the feminist. That's the bride of Christ. that he's shown himself as that. But what about when he ends it up into the millennial ride? And going into the millennium, then he shows her. All right, let's get down to the scripture, verse 11. You read all the others. We know the Lamb and the bride hath made herself ready, granted to sit and arrayed with fine linen and all, which is the righteousness of the saints. And he said, and I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his hair, his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that's showing him. But watch. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Showing him and her. He's riding on a white horse, we're riding on a white horse. What does a horse mean? Power. Right. Symbolics. Authority, right? But his name is the Word of God. Now, it's not written across our W-O-R-D. Big old horse and a great big W-O-R-D wrote on the side of it. No. He says no man knew it but he himself. That's bride form. Coming back with him into the millennium. Now let's see what it says. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Now listen. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the name that's written on there. Whatever his name is, that's what our name is. We're Miss Jesus now, right? And being Miss Jesus, being Miss Jesus is what we claim to be now, right? But if he gets a name change that nobody knows but he himself, that'll be the same name his bride's got. But listen now. How many of you remember what I preached about it? See, if you notice there, that's all in capital letters. King of kings and Lord of lords. You go over there in 1 Timothy 6:14-15, and you'll find it king, large K, of king, small. You'll find it L, big L with a little L. You go in Revelation 5, it even shows there that we're priests and kings. But none of that is in capital letter. Check it. When it says we're king of kings, I mean back there, you're priests and kings, it's not capitalized. But now when you're coming back into the millennium, riding with him, the letters are the same. This is describing the one self person of Jesus Christ in her, himself being there, but also being there in his bride. The bride then will have the same name, because did you read it? And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, what kind of name is that? King of kings. That's a wonderful name. That's a wonderful name. Because he's king. And the kings are all just like him. They got the same name. Right. And he's Lord. And all the lords is just like him. Same name. Whatever name he has, the name we have. But the life thing that's shown in the Bible up to there, see, is to showing us as King of kings and Lord of lords riding back into the millennium. You agree? See, then he puts just as much emphasis upon the bride as he put upon himself. That ain't all the story. Then you get over to Revelation 21. And John sees the city coming down and describes the bride. He sees the bride describe the city. He can't separate it. Read your Bible. He talks about, coming, I'll show you the Lamb's, you know, bride. And when he does, he starts talking about the city. Then he says, I'll show you the city, and he starts talking about the bride. Church, once we reach the position to where that it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, until there's no difference between him and her, then we can go to the future home. Then we can go to where that God ends the whole Bible talking about me and you. He ends describing his church. Like Brother Carroll talking about last night, said when he got married, said, you know, he said, my little wife, he said, you know, I don't have to tell her it's all right to write a check. Said, she just writes it. You know, we do natural, we have to give authority, but being God, he's leaving it up to me and you. This thing is all left in our hands, folks. To believe what God has said about us. Now, he's described us in the church ages. Do you understand what I'm doing? He described us in the church ages. We wind up sitting on the throne with him in Revelation about 3:21, 22, right in there. Then he shows us in glory in Revelation 5. Shows us his priests and kings with him. Then he shows us in Revelation 19, riding back into the millennium. King of Kings and Lord of Lords gives us exactly the same name, the exact title, the exact position. See, before when you had a little big K and a little K, that was a different position. Difference of authorities, we would call it. But when he places them in capital letters, there is no such thing anymore as being anything different. That's why that I read to start with where we're heirs. Join heirs with Jesus Christ. Join heirs doesn't mean, now I'm going to describe something so it's going to be out of the way, all right? When to me that it says we're joint heirs with him, that doesn't mean he has 50 and we have 50. That's what that sounds like it's talking about. No, it's not. It's when he's got 100 and I got 100. That's what God thinks about. That's joint heirs. Because we know for sure that he don't have just 50%. He's got 100%. We ain't no Trinitarian that God is up here and down here, Jesus, and he's dividing up, and he gets half and we get half. Well, that leaves God out of it if you've done it that way. Anyway, so. But, see, we believe in one true and living God. And when he has it all, I have it all. My wife today can write a check. This is, most of the time if I wrote one, it'd bounce anyway because it wouldn't know my handwriting. They'd call up and want to know who signed a check. I don't question her about what she writes. But I tell you what, if I got bills in the mail that was past due, I'd question her. But I don't have to worry about it because she takes care of everything. She has full authority to spend what she has there. It's hers. I've even told her this much. She ever got ready to get rid of me, she's got everything I got, I'll leave on my own. Because it's every bit hers anyway. Could I give it to her? If we could think that much of natural, what is it that God thinks of you and I? I wish we could get that bred into us. I wish you'd go home and pray, God, what is this man talking about? I'm talking about becoming joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ was a second person, you might get a 50-50. Come on, but when he is the person, he's got 100 and I got 100. You can't separate. That's why it says his name. He's got a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Only the bride of Christ is going to know that name anyway. Everybody tried to figure out what's his new name or what's this, that. She's the only one that's going to know what that name is. Because you can't go out there now and tell the world about the name of Jesus. They'll tell you in a hurry. They know all about the name. But church, do you see what I'm talking about? Seeing ourselves in the Bible. The Bible is written totally ending up on showing you and me. See, we should have took Revelation, each one of those scriptures, and just read it to where you'd see, but you can read. Go home and read about yourself. Pick up the Bible and read about yourself. Don't read about somebody else. Read about God talking to you. Find yourself in the Word. And then you'll find that God thinks just as much of you as He does Himself. Now that's a loyal father, isn't it? Isn't that something for a father? Now come on, most of us old doty old daddies, we think more of the kids than we do ourselves. We do more for them. We do and everything, right? Sacrifice ourselves to give to the kids, right? What about a father who could give us everything in the world? But you know what he has to do? He has to give it to us gradually because he knows we would become spoiled brats. You know? So he lets us sometimes have to work it out. Amen? You believe? Let's think. Come on, brother. Think on these things. Finding yourself in the Word. It's like Josh did there at the beginning, you know. He read you scriptures. He read you scriptures about Him. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's finding yourself in the Word. That ain't just taking Papa's word for it, or Daddy's word for it, Mama's word or something like that. No, it's finding your own self. Read the Bible for yourself. Find yourself in the Word. Read it. See? Read it and see yourself. Think on these things. What we got? Number 106 in the spiral. Anybody have a need? Altar's open. Then touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear you. Come and let's believe and let's see. Brother Harris, Brother Dean, Terrence, wait. The Bible says to call for the elders, lay hands on the sick. That's what we do. We believe it. Then what He's asking for, we thank God for it. We believe it. We doubt our doubts, our thoughts, and believe what God says. And just thank Him and say, thank you, Lord. We know we don't have to do this, but we know it's in the Word of God. And we do what the Word of God says. Father, our brother has asked for us to call the elders of the church and lay hands on the sick. Lord, You said that if even they've committed any sin, it'd be forgiven them because You would bring to their knowledge and they would bring it out, Lord. So we ask You now to just touch our brother. And just be with Him, Father. And just let Him, Lord, see that it's a finished product of Calvary that we're talking about. The one we've talked about today. The Lord that we believe. Father, that You are in charge of all things. But yet You've imparted that down or transmitted it down to Your body. And now we stand here in Your place to call upon You to finish Your word. And we believe You, Father. Now, whatever our brother's asking for, we believe it. We thank You. Anybody else? Then touch the Lord as He passes. Anybody else that doesn't have a need? Brother Harris has got a rash on him. So let's just believe. Let's believe that God will take away this. as he touched him when his back was messed up. Let's believe here. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lay hands upon our brother. And Father, believe in you and knowing that the itching and the things that had bothered us and all, Lord, that you took it away from us. Father, we condemn that itching, that thing, ever what it is, the rash on the body. We condemn it through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just commit it into your hands, knowing that we can't do anything, but knowing that you have already done it, now reveal it and make it manifest. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anybody else? Then touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he. Our brother's back's bothering him. Let's believe with him. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing that by your stripes our brother is healed. How many times have we laid in the floor and cried with our back that are hurting? And oh, Lord, it brings back to that to our remembrance, and so we could have sympathy with our brother. And we ask you now that you would just undertake for our brother to take away this trouble. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we believe you, Father, and we thank you. Anybody else? Anybody just have a need? Because I believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the healer is there. Hearts cry, he's passed. Sing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out, touch the Lord as he. Let's sing, Ain't God Good. All right, Brother Dick, let's sing, Ain't God Good, because I believe he is, don't you? Amen. Ain't God good? Do you believe it? Give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank him. Love and praise him a little more today. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We all do thank him. Love and praise him a little more today. Why do we think God is so good? Why? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. You're dismissed. Remember, the youth will be practicing today, so just stay out of the way of them. I think they're going to do it up here. They're going to do it upstairs. So just remember that. Pray one for another. We are the people